So, good evening. I call order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is October 14th, 2025, and the time is 7 p.m. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Dinkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabatini.
Here.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, I don't think I need to remind the crew that's here, but still, everything that we are discussing and voting on tonight has been thoroughly vetted and discussed in our work sessions, and you are always welcome to join us in those work sessions, to attend those. If you do wish to speak on the public commentary time, please fill out one of the forms and hand it to Jamie, our administrative assistant. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda tonight?
Yes, we do have one addition, B3F, underneath new business, borrowing resolution, line of credit.
Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve the amended agenda?
I make a motion that we approve the amended agenda.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Dinkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabatini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries. I'll now turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his comments.
All right, well, thank you very much. So in my first round tonight, I want to talk about our cell phone protocols, how it's going, and then probably some next steps too. So I'm going to pop onto the next steps first. We'll be meeting with our administration to dive in more deeply about walking through the doors, how that's going, if we need to make adjustments, if it's from bell to bell, how is the system working? And the big idea is this, remember, is that for our students, it's all about engagement and having the cell phones put away and not on their body. So we want to engage with our administration there, because we want to make sure, and I'm going to talk about a survey here in a second from our staff, the second time we put it out, is making sure that it's being followed through intently. And so we've had 61 responses today already in our second time around on a survey. And how would you rate your overall experience of our new off and away cell phone protocol in the, after the first 6 weeks? Went all the way, we had one to five, five being the tops. So 36 people rated as a five, four as a, 22 as a four, and then four as a three. And that three is at that moderate level.
Is that available on the screen?
I have it.
Shareable?
That I was haven't the, put it up there.
You thought I was talking about the temperature.
Yeah, no.
I'm quite
I am confident I will fail miserably trying to get up on that screen. You've seen me do that multiple times in the past. And
okay.
I appreciate not failing again on you.
Okay. Just as easy.
But I will put this out to you.
I had a quick question on the 61.
Yep.
What
yes.
is that representative of a total of what?
Mr. Payne, or sorry, David, that's all two. That's going to be. That's going to be
number
61. Fifth through.
I do have a PDF that if we, I could go get my computer and. Yeah. Up there, and I have a side-by-side of
yeah.
where
so you're talking about the number of respondents?
That's what I'm asking.
So far, it is. And that's yeah. that
what's,
is
a, what's
be,
that a percentage?
Not required
that's fifth through 12th
participation.
Grade
yeah.
teachers.
That's what?
Fifth through 12th grade teachers.
Okay.
It because wasn't a requirement to
for a teacher to do it?
Answer
no.
The
because it,
I'm just asking.
No, there's no requirement. But okay. So out of that 61, so if you think in terms of you're looking at about 50% of our staff would have responded there. Between the
secondary, so
yep,
up 50%.
Teachers,
yes,
yeah,
teachers,
okay,
teachers here. And so, and this will be in your board briefs because you're going to want to see all the teachers' comments. I'm not going to read them all because there's a lot there, okay? So, this will be in your board briefs. How would you rate support provided by your administrators? 59% are excellent, 35% is good, and then we had a three people said fair. And so we'll see those in the responses down below. Teacher time spent, and I think this is one that gives a bigger story. Teacher time spent on cell phone issues. How much time of your instruction time has been spent dealing with cell phone-related issues? 49% said none. 49% said less than 5 minutes. And we had one individual says between 5 to 10 minutes.
And what's interesting, Mr. Shaw, is that none, spending no time, went up from 41% to 49%. So we can actually see teachers, if they are the same teachers, right? Lots of factors go into this. Teachers are saying they're spending less time.
And that's just in the last month, right?
That's in the last 4 weeks.
Last 4 weeks, okay.
Prior to, the first data you saw was after 2 weeks. This is 4 weeks later.
That's fantastic.
Yep. What I was kind of, and then I'm going to get into the comments here in one quick second. It's about student engagement. And so 35% is still saying they're seeing significant improved engagement. 25% somewhat improved. 37% about the same. And then we had one that felt like it has somewhat decreased. And so when the teacher's comments here, and I'm only going to go over about five or six of them, is just really make sure for consistency, make sure that our kids are putting their phones in their lockers rather than in, you know, they go, kids are not having them out, but it's not necessarily in their locker. So again, we want them in their lockers because when the phone is further away from the body, the more engaged the student is. Mm-hmm. The next one here, a challenge I see that I hear about in certain teachers are not following procedures. So we have some teachers we're going to have to talk to, like some may be following procedures, some may not. So back to consistency, that's a vital area that we want to make sure that we adhere to so it does not fall apart. I believe there's been a significant improvement compared to last year. The students are keeping phones off and away, but as I said, some may be keeping in their pockets. I like the policy and support we get. I think it's the best solution we have had with this issue right now. Another teacher, I absolutely love it. And then multiple ones you'll read it yourselves is having seen our teachers engage, our students engaged, and our kids are talking to us. So they're seeing the positivity from it there. I really want to, like I said, meet with our administrators to drill down further as far as what they're seeing as far as the management, because again, we don't want to see it subside right there, and listening to the teachers around consistency. So our next step will be now is we'll keep surveying the staff, but is the students. So now we're going to reach out to our students and listen to what they have to say and bring that back in. I know that on the student data, we'll also be pulling the data on referrals, and so that will be out too for you.
Would it be possible and maybe useful to put this out on the webpage as to just, you know, it was a big impact to the community. It had it had the resonance of being like a big deal, and just to show that there is success and it has.
So what I can do is we can actually do something through our weekend review,
okay,
and publishing materials out there for it,
okay,
and highlighting them there. So. Yeah, so we're seeing the successes right here, and we know that there's always room for growth, and we want to just really make sure that, and I'm going to say this again, is we're consistent. And if that's one number one thing I've heard from just a couple of teachers, but that consistency matters, because that's where it'll fall apart if we're not.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all I have tonight for that.
Thank you. Carrie, do we have any public commentary on board agenda items?
We do.
Okay, thank you. Next is board discussion action items. We have our contracted services and resignations report. Is there any discussion on that?
I'm going to withhold discussion on that till we have our work session where we're discussing that specifically.
Okay, very good. Next is our consent agenda. Are there any items the board members would like to have moved off the consent agenda and moved over to new business?
So one of the things we did not discuss was that new staffing position. Would that be something that would be beneficial to move over to new business so we can have a discussion about it prior to a vote on it? Because
That is a new business.
Oh.
Yep.
Then no.
Letter B.
Thank you.
Okay, so can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move to approve the consent agenda, items B2A through B2C, and be considered and that items be approved as recommended.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Trasky.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes. And the motion carries. Again, I just want to provide the background that the new business items that you'll see and hear tonight have been thoroughly discussed in our work sessions, and they're also addressed in our weekly board briefs. So we're going to move through those quickly, but we have thoroughly vetted all these before we vote on these different new business items. And a reminder, our work sessions are again open to the public. Next, we have our superintendent evaluation. Okay. Can I get a motion regarding the superintendent evaluation to assign it as a rating of effective?
I move to assign the rating of effective to Superintendent Mr. Andrew Schall in accordance with the completed evaluation discussed with Mr. Andrew Schall in a closed session on September 23rd, 2025.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion on this motion?
Only that we were here till 11 o'clock that night. True statement.
Again, as I said, thoroughly vetted when we have these motions. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Trasky.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
So our next item is new staffing position. We're requesting that the Board of Education approve a new staffing position called Coordinator of Recruitment and Retention.
Do we have a motion regarding the new staffing position?
I move to approve the creation of the new staffing position, Coordinator of Recruitment and Retention, as presented.
Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion.
You had a question regarding this type of position you see in other corporate settings. Do we feel that it's necessary the person be located at the administration building?
They're honestly not going to probably be here hardly at all.
That's what I would have thought. That's going to be more of a hybrid.
It was more that we had to name, and that's one of our practices, is naming locations of where they're housed.
Okay.
And that's more of just a check-in in this building is all that.
Right, so that person will be...
I hope that
largely remote and doing.
That's
you'll be checking in with.
Yep. If they're in the administrative building, it's not really doing us any good.
Right. Right. Okay. I just want to make sure.
It's going to the colleges, universities. We have some special education shortages right now. We've got a couple of teaching positions that are just going to reopen that we're going to need to get filled. We look at our different positions we currently have from support staff. I think that's probably one of our bigger ones. And so it's literally going and working throughout our community and a lot of these positions and in the employment agencies here. Yep.
That was one of the things when I looked at the heading of it was recruitment retention, and obviously retention isn't a single entity.
Nope.
Retention is across the board. So my question is, I understand the desire for recruitment because staffing is a very big deal and challenging, and like you said, people need to be out of the building. But the retention side of it is what I didn't understand. Like, why do we need a position and create another position? I don't even know how many people are in HR, to tell you the truth.
So here, the reason why we added the word retention to it is this person is working to bring bring people into the system, so they've developed those relationships. What we really want to understand is that retention side, as far as they're stay in touch with them, so if they're trying to talk about leaving, they're ahead of it. And so it's trying to head a different direction than what we've done in the past to try and retain retain staff we're hiring, and so that's why the retention side was there. It's more to stay in tune, and this is really through the rest of this school year, and then we'll evaluate and see if it did what it, what we were asking out of it. And it's really trying to provide us more information as far as what make maybe making a person leave and or lack of knowledge that this position might not be great for you, but another one over here could be better.
Because when we were, obviously retention's a big conversation, and when you look at where you're going to put your resources, because I know Cassie always has an input, like where are we putting the resources at that's going to impact retention, one person and maintaining over 1,000 staff.
Oh, no, no, no,
like,
no, no.
Because when you talk about retention.
Yeah, this is for... This is focusing on the new hires that this person brings into Monroe Public Schools.
So they will this only is that, be focusing on those people that
because that's because we're trying to start small. So their focus is only on you know, that person brings myself into the district. They're going to stay in tune with me, okay? And they bring then Brian in and in a different position. So they, that it's just those that they brought into the system for us that they're going to help us understand why a person may not be wanting to stay with us or something like that. So they're going to help. Just on only those, not
so. Their primary focus is recruitment.
Recruitment.
If I were looking at their time,
retaining of the staff right. That's brought on this.
75% of their time, 80% of their time is recruitment. 20% is
yeah.
If you're kind of trying to
correct,
bring it up.
It's yeah. Just okay. A little bit towards the ones that are brought on.
Right.
Thank you for that clarity.
Right, because okay. One of the things we had looked at in the past was I don't think we really do it much anymore, was looking at why people were leaving. At some point there was this whole discussion of finding out why people were leaving, because if we figure out why people are leaving, then it's not an opinion, there's factual evidence. Is there going to be anything like that?
There will be. That's all part of it right there. And so
they'll be reporting and data.
That's what that we will be presented to this board is that data side of it.
Okay.
But we're trying to come a different direction, because right now we've got positions that we need to have filled, and we can't. We're trying to get people in the door, and we're not finding them. Okay. So we need to put someone on the ground, going out and hitting it from a different direction, because what we're getting right now is just we're shorthanded.
How long until this position will be filled? Is there any anticipation?
If the board approves us tonight, it'll be posted tomorrow, and then. As soon as we have,
because it's filling a position for which you're trying to fill.
As soon as we have, as soon as we have, two or three, four qualified candidates, we'll interview.
Okay.
And if one of them rises to the top, we'll hire. If not, then we'll keep interviewing.
We just don't know when this will be in.
As soon as it comes.
I would just caution. I know we talked about this for the rest of this year.
Yeah.
But success in this arena takes a little bit of time.
It will.
So. You know, sales is a lagging indicator of success. I think in this one, it's going to take a little bit of time. So I wouldn't want us to be too critical about what happens quickly, unless obviously they're not doing it.
I appreciate that. We think about the same way. I think about that longevity would be great for that side of it. But the point of where I was going is if we're not seeing the results, we'll talk about a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be an external hire?
Or yes,
possibly
this is
internal.
This is not an internal candidate.
Just curious.
Nope. Oh, I should say that. Could an internal candidate want to make what we're offering and move out of a position? They could.
Okay.
Okay, but they would be literally, but I don't know if there's ever.
I'm just curious.
Looking at what was put together, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Okay.
Stacy or Mary, any comments? I think to Brian's point, because it's a very competitive market around here for the people that we're looking for.
Yeah.
Certainly, we're going to have to be a little bit patient to start with.
Yep.
But hopefully, whoever this person is can build relationships and through networking get people to come in for interviews.
It sounds like, Cassie, they're going to need a budget. Just an FYI.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Santabini?
Yes.
Mr. Hatton?
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right. So, Mrs. Shook, acceptance of 2024-25 financial audits.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Tonight we are asking the board to move to accept the 2024-2025 financial audit as prepared by the firm of Calkins, Hale, and Rafco of Monroe, Michigan.
Very good. Can I have a motion to accept the financial audit?
I move to accept the 2024-2025 financial audit as prepared by the firm of Calkins, Hill, and Raffco, Monroe, Michigan.
Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion. Any discussion by board members?
It was a very positive report, the best you can get, so congratulations to the team.
Yeah. Great job, Cassie.
Yeah, Thank you, Cassie. I know it's a lot of work that goes into these audits.
And thank you, and it truly is a team effort from not just the business office, but other departments as well to prepare all the documents that they review and ensure that we're doing what we're supposed to be.
Thank you.
And you're the first one, so you have to move fast.
Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabatini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mr. Hutt.
Yes, and the motion carries.
So ratification of the teacher contract, we request to move to ratify the master agreement for August 16th, 2025 to August 15th, 2026 between the Monroe City Education Association and the Monroe Board of Education effective August 16th, 2025.
Can I get a motion on the ratification of the teacher's contract?
I move to ratify the master agreement for the teacher's contract for August 16th, 2025 to August 15th, 2026 between the Monroe City Education Association and the Monroe Board of Education effective August 16th, 2025.
Do I have support?
Support.
Discussion?
So I know we discussed this. This is a completed document at this point.
Yes. So when the board would approve it at that point in time, between HR and the Teachers Association, they'll sit down and make sure that all the highlights, everything's taken out, and then it is signed and done.
In context and same.
Yep.
Thank you.
I just want to say I think the negotiating team did a very good job. Certainly this was a fairly lengthy negotiation, and I know the state budgeting probably had a little bit of influence on that, but I see the results are, I think, favorable for both the teachers and for the school district. So, again, thank you to the members of the administration that were involved. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabatini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Hutt.
Yes, and the motion carries.
So, letter E, new business, borrowing resolution for indoor video board. We recommend that the board moves to approve the borrowing resolution for indoor video board as presented.
Can I get a motion on borrowing for the indoor video board?
I make a motion that we move to approve the borrowing resolution for an indoor video board as presented.
Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion.
So typically when purchases happen within the district, there is a process that we follow, and this is outside of the process. Can someone explain that?
So this purchase right here is because the district would not, this is an item that the district would not purchase ourselves. So last, was it June or July that we asked Chet to come and speak to the board?
I think it was June.
June-ish right there. Yeah. Chet talked about the concept of a video board for the gymnasium and working with local entities to help support that cause. And this video board, it would be paid for through those, all the funds that are collected by the signage, and so that's the sponsorships. And he was able to work with the Monroe Community Credit Union to get a really good interest rate on that compared to the video board company. And so this project does not cost Monroe Public Schools a penny. This is all supported through selling of the ads and or the business names onto the signage.
What's the expected payoff time, or does he have a...
Yes, so this is a, oh goodness, three or five, 5 years.
A five-year?
This is a five-year, thank you. Yes, but the interest rate is extremely, it's like 2.9%. But he may pay it off quicker than that because The board is designed to generate in revenue each year. I want to say it's right around that $40,000 or $50,000. And so he's generated enough revenue right now so that it will pay for each year. And so he's going on soliciting more. So there's more spots on the board. When I say spots, there's like, I think four anchors, and then you got smaller partners on there. And so once those would fill up, then he would be able to and pay it off much quicker.
So I guess that would be my question. If there are an anticipation that there's going to be sponsors, I'm going to assume that conversations that are already had, so that there are going to be sponsors that are going to say yes to this. So why not secure the funds from the sponsors to buy the board rather than take a loan and take 5 years to pay it off? Like, that's the part that doesn't make sense to me.
Would you like... So the way Daktronics, which is the company that produces the video boards, they offer the option of them securing the financing and then paying through the sponsored ads on the video board to pay that off. And when Dr. Hessen presented that idea, I forget if it was Mr. Shaw or the board that indicated to him that it would only be considered if he had sufficient sponsorships to cover the cost. And so he has secured those sponsorships to cover the cost.
So why not use that before you take a loan out?
Because here's the thing. So he has, like, right now, like $25,000 raised, which would be the equivalent of paying for year one. And so he has that commitment. And so if as he gets more, you know, that commitment then committed, it can pay it off. He doesn't want to pay the 3% interest for 5 years. He'll pay that off faster once the monies are all there. What we want to do is he wanted to get the board in, and the only way to get the board in is to get the commitment. A sponsor will not pay until the board is up. And so it might take another year before he would have the $100,000. And then would he keep that first original sponsor? So he's locked up enough to make sure the payments are made on this board. He has more spaces that need to be sold. Those spaces get sold, and at that point in time, the monies will be there to make that payment off, yeah, if he wants to pay it off faster or not.
So my concern becomes is that is one entity of the entire system. Mm-hmm. So athletics is one department. So we approve this, and another department says, hey, how about just let me take a loan out, yep, and let me get what I need, and I'm going to trust that I'm going to pay that off. Yep. Because the default would be the school.
Correct.
The school would have to do that. So if you set a precedent and you allow one to do this, then it does open the avenue up for others that say, well, wait a minute, athletic got to do a loan for something, why can't we?
Yep. So it goes back to how can the entity, and when we say the entity, the group inside our district, how they're showing how they're going to pay for it. Yeah, and still, so he has, and that's what, so the he has agreements already under contract for the term. So that $25,000 is there for those 5 years. So it's the board is paid for, it's over a 5 year period.
Would it have been beneficial to give us those names?
The companies?
Yes.
Just anything.
We
just got nothing on
soon
this.
Soon we'll see the ads.
I know, but what I'm saying, when you're asking me to vote right now, it would be nice to know, hey, boom, 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 we got those.
1 second.
Because even if you're buying kitchen equipment,
yeah,
we get the specs, we get, like, I know more about kitchen equipment than I would, because we get all of the information. This is just so operating outside of what we normally do and we normally get. Mm-hmm. And that is what's kind of, to me.
So when we, Dr. Hessen came to our May 13th work session, and that's where he talked to us about the video board, that there was going to be 6 static ad spots on the board, and that's how the revenue was going to be generated for the video board, and that he explained that he was going to secure those donors for those 6 static spots. So, like, he shared with us that entire plan, and he detailed what it was going to look like, how he was going to pay off the board at that meeting. So we had the information. It was just, you know, a long time ago.
I even think about it, if we're going to go dig a hole out there, or we're going to go gravel the path for the loop or something, like, there's a lot more conversation that goes into it than to getting a loan. That's a big deal.
So in a moment, he'll text me those names.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that might make some people feel a little...
Why didn't he come to this and answer questions?
Let's see, it's Tuesday night, so...
Last night of volleyball.
It's senior night for volleyball.
There we go.
Put it on a night he could come.
He's the athletic director.
I'm good with just getting some names. I'll be good with names.
That's why he's not answering my text.
Question, Andy, is the pricing and all that include installation into the gym?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a turnkey system?
It's all installed into the gym.
See, we could have had a little packet of information, showed us what the board looked like, had all the specs, had all the stuff on it.
That was in his presentation.
I remember.
That was in his...
Again, that was June, July, August, September, October, 5 months ago. So we included that in our packet.
I appreciate that.
It's kind of like a Jumbotron kind of thing.
I think I know what you're saying, but you did have one board member who...
I appreciate that.
That's true.
So I am excited, though, that originally back in May, Dr. Hessen did say that he was thinking that the total cost was going to be at about $120,000, and it's $98,822. So that is a considerable cost savings from what he originally projected. So
plus the 2.9% interest is fantastic.
Yeah.
I get all of that, but we're still taking a loan out. A department is taking a loan out for an item, and that's just something like I'm having a hard time understand that we are a school system and we're authorizing departments to take out loans in the name of the school for stuff, and I just have a hard time with that.
I also would say that we've had a ADA compliance bleacher issue that I keep seeing board brief after board brief. That's $120,000, so not that much different, and that seems a little less important than a board. I'm in favor of the board. I think the boards are great, but we're talking about, once again, we're sacrificing one to please another. And if I had to make a vote, I would say I'd like the bleachers to be taken care of and be made ADA compliant.
Well,
I know this isn't a bread and butter argument, but when I'm looking at the number, I keep seeing it every time in board briefs, and it's like 2026, 2027. If we're able to do something, then so although I know that the bleachers are not going to be, they're going to be paid for by us. We're not going to be paid back by it.
Yeah.
I get that.
We're not taking a loan out, right?
I don't know what our plan is, because like I said,
it keeps coming. So I'm waiting for it.
That's your.
I'm excited about it.
That's your November work session.
I'm excited about it.
But this jumped ahead of that.
This only came ahead of it because Chet was able to access that last bit of money that he needed. So it's two totally different items.
Yeah.
So the bleachers at the high school, we could sit and have the conversation today. We could have it in November. The work wouldn't happen until next summer, okay? And so that work that's a summer project work right there. And that's going to be, that would be sinking fund monies. What we're talking about here with the video board is simply that Chet had a vision and for this, and knew that the only way he could get any kind of item like that in Monroe Public Schools is through selling of ads and sponsorships. He was able to do that, and that's why he's asking to be able to put that board up.
So would it have made sense to come to the board and say, I am looking at getting a loan, and here's what I plan on doing, and getting that done and then taking the step rather than doing all of that and then coming to us after the fact?
That may be a lesson learned for future, if anybody in the future, but at this point, we're here today because he's already gathered all the support and he has the loan set up, so. But I think point taken, we probably need to look at something in a policy to make sure we control that better.
It's back to...
Probably is.
I think it's back to the idea around the a more in-depth presentation.
Yeah.
So you can see that with the board.
And obviously the bleachers requires a discussion on priorities on the sinking fund as well.
Because we're getting ready to authorize you, Andy, to be the trustee of this. but the conversation has already happened with an employee of Monroe Public Schools with to secure a loan. Do you see what I'm saying?
Go back to this.
I'm just reading what I have here.
This was a conversation back in May, or I'm sorry, in May, when around the idea around a video board, and knew that the only way that video board could happen would be through ad sales. So the only the true choices of the Board of Education is either you can put the video board up once you have all the money, or you can take and have a loan. We're just saying that the Monroe Public Schools isn't an option for taking the $98,000 out of Monroe Public Schools. That's what we're saying there. So, I mean, that is your only other choice.
How was that determined? I'm just asking.
So we're back to, we looked at it, we thought about it from the lens of cash flow and everything we have to do here, and said, you know, if you want this, it's that part of that revenue that you would generate will pay for that interest on that. To answer,
we just had the conversation in there about how we can support some of these programs in better ways and in other avenues.
But
it's not like we're not wanting to support. No. It's just that there's way to do things.
But in all honesty, a video board for Monroe Public Schools, I would love it. But that's just something that I personally view that is above and beyond. And so, you know, if the athletic director is willing to find a way to get a video board into the gym, then great. There's a lot of other things that we need to do that $100,000 could be used for than on a video board.
I give him credit for kind of thinking out of the box. Absolutely. And coming up with a way to finance this.
Once the video board is paid off, is there a plan for future revenue?
So that future revenue, I'm not going to speak specifically. I'm going to have Chet come and talk about that, because it will get used for some other thing that he wants to do. Okay. What that will be, I don't know.
Bring that plan before you do this.
He only had three choices. He could either have us pay for it, period. Or he could have come before the board and say, I want to borrow $100,000. I'm going to make $25,000 a year over the next 4 years to pay for it.
Yes.
Okay. He went to another route, and it's real simple. With that business person, you go to him and say, I need $25,000. Would you give it for this ad? Only problem is you got to wait 4 years for it to be shown. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get the $25,000. Mm-hmm. But you say, I want $25,000 for this year, mm-hmm. you're going to get it. And that's how he did it. He spread it out each year to get those from those vendors over a four-year period.
I understand all of that.
Oh, okay.
But this is something that has never been done in all the years that I've sat here, that an employee of the system goes and secures a loan and then comes to us after the fact and say, I want your approval of the loan. I think that those kind of things and those kind of decisions, when especially it's financial decisions, should come to the board first.
I would actually argue that he is giving you an option that you could say, no, we're going to front it, you're going to pay it back, like we're doing with the Trojan build. Take the Trojan builds, the CTE building, we front the money, and we're paying it. And so as a Trojan build sell, that money's coming back into the general fund until that building's paid for.
But that was already determined and set up, so.
No.
Nope. The Trojan builds, when we got to the point where we were starting to make money on the Trojan builds, at that point in time is when myself, Leah, and Tom talked about it, and we said, how do we keep it in the CTE world? Because what was happening is the district was generating a lot of revenue off of those bills that go straight to the general fund.
Right.
And we said that's how we came up with a plan on how to build the CTE storage building. Mm-hmm. Those monies go there. And so then down the road, when we don't know what that next project will be, but when that once that is paid off, that'll be another project for the CTE department. What it is, I don't know. The question earlier is, what are the companies? It's UT College of Engineering, Miniman, ICM Insurance, Monroe Community Credit Union, One Dental. And there's still room for others. So those are the ones that are.
Mr. Heck, if I may.
No. That they've, that these five, yeah, five right there, will have generated the $25,000, so that, that the money is there to make the payments. And so it's a, it's been, a, they, they've locked, he's got them penciled in so that they would be committed for that five-year period to do this.
Okay.
Mr. Heck, if I may, I just want to be clear that no loan paperwork has been signed, no agreement has been made. Dr. Hessen sought financing rates from institutions. Okay. And Dr. Hessen would not be the person that is obtaining the loan should the board approve it tonight. Mm-hmm. It would, the board is authorizing Mr. Shaw to obtain the loan. And it is not unheard of for the district to apply for financing for purchases. We've done that multiple times with buses, and we rely on the transportation department to seek information from the places that we can obtain the buses as far as the cost. And then typically the business office seeks interest rate quotes from financing institutions. There would be no way that we could wait for the board to approve and then try and figure out where we're going to get the loan from. There's you have to figure out if it's even feasible, if there's an institution that will do that before you can make that presentation to the board.
Yeah,
Dr. Hessen did what the board had requested and ensured these sponsorships to pay the cost for the board.
And he went through the finance office?
He did what the board had asked and obtained sponsorships. He worked with Daktronics, and he had a connection with someone at the community credit union that was already, as Mr. Shaw indicated, a sponsor. He obtained that information from those two places and found favorable interest rate with the community credit union versus the institution that Daktronics uses. He didn't need to go through me because he had those contacts already, and he had already been working with Daktronics as far as what the cost would be so that he could ensure the sponsorships he received would pay for the cost of the equipment over the period of time, which is what was asked of him when he presented the idea.
So in that regard,
he couldn't have presented it sooner because he only just obtained the necessary sponsorships, which is why it's coming before the board now.
Well, we could have done a work session on it and had that discussion as we do other ones. But so based on what you're saying, what happens if the plan does not play out, Cassie? So we all have plans, and we say, okay, this is the plan. This is the way it's going to work out. This is how it's going to be. What happens if that plan doesn't play out with this loan? Who is responsible then for that money?
The agreements for the sponsorships, it's my understanding they would be over the 5 years, which is the duration of the loan.
So they have already
submitted? That is my understanding, but that hinges on us actually obtaining the video board. They're not going to provide any funds. We have not received any funds from any of the sponsors. They've made an agreement.
No. So and that's, the long
and
short
the agreement
is
over really the period of the time.
If a sponsor has a bad year and things go south, they go under. Monroe Public Schools is going to pay the loan if he doesn't have enough revenue to do that, is what would happen, because it's our name. And just like if he, the Monroe Public Schools took and gave him the $100,000 for the video board, and one of the sponsors doesn't pay, Monroe Public Schools is still paying for it.
So I guess that's my point. Why not do it that way?
You can do it that way. We were just looking at the different options and of what we
because
should look at.
Because it's expense going out, revenue coming in. I'm just...
You could, but at present, we don't have the cash flow available to spend the funds necessary to pay for the video board at this present moment in time. And we're simply presenting what Dr. Hessen had obtained, which was what he was directed to do when he made the presentation of the idea.
I just have a quick follow-up question. I'm assuming that
any future revenue that we have for the sponsorships is going to pay for any software updates for the board?
That is all part of the whole system.
Okay.
And that's also a reason why he is using Daktronics, is because it's all the same. The total interest over that over the 5 years is $7,500 is the interest. And that's if he doesn't get any more other sponsorships and takes and goes the whole time. So if you're trying to wonder about how much interest is being paid out.
So I think the video board, when it was presented, is a great idea. I've never been against it. I think the sponsorship of that is a good way to do it. It's what they do in the big leagues. It's the process for which it was followed that I have a problem with, and just want to make that clear.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
I'm going to say yes in the event that we identify and clear processes in the future.
Thank you.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes, I have the same misgivings that Ms. Myers expressed as well.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, so our next item is the one that we just added today, and I sent an email to the board earlier. It is a borrowing resolution for a line of credit, and Mrs. Shook, you want to speak on this, please?
Tonight we are asking the board to move to approve the borrowing resolution for a line of credit as presented.
Can I get a motion regarding the borrowing resolution for a line of credit?
I move to approve the borrowing resolution for a line of credit as presented.
Do we have support?
Support.
Okay, discussion by board members.
So, help me out,
yep,
because we know nothing about this.
We're going to get you there right now. So, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, and then I'll pop in, okay?
No problem. I have indicated in the last couple board briefs that it may be a potential where we would have to go out for either a loan or something related to cash flow. Now, even though the state has approved their budget, there has been a lot of expenditures, and we can't have a negative cash flow in our general fund, so we do need to do a line of credit to ensure this month that we can meet the expenditures that we would incur from payroll and outgoing expenditures.
So talk about...
For this month? For October?
Yes.
Just for and, 1 month?
Right. We'll get state aid this month and in future months, and in December we will receive tech millage funds, which are restricted, and special ed funds and other property taxes will start coming in December. Typically and historically, September, October are our low points of cash because we don't get any state aid in September, and that's when we're starting up the school year and we have a lot of expenditures coming in that we do have to pay. So we do need to make sure that we have enough cash on hand, which in addition, in our bank accounts, we used pooled cash, which pools all the funds together. So our bank account will not be negative if we don't do this, but our general fund portion would be. So we have money in the bank, but part of that checking account where all the payroll and checks come out of, part of that is restricted for our debt, pay service fund, our sinking fund. And you cannot use those funds to pay your operating expenditures out of your general fund.
So this would be just for this year. It would end on June 30th. And based on the...
I thought it was just for this month.
The money...
The cash is needed this month.
For the month of October.
We'll be repaying it when we're getting our property tax revenue,
and
hopefully
so
from January through
based
June.
Based on the amount of monies that are coming in, and as Cassie watches cash flow, as long as we have strong cash flow and can pay it back, it'll be paid back. And so, but it's one of those items that doesn't carry over, and the amount is at up to $3 million. It doesn't mean the whole three would be used. It's a line of credit.
So because we haven't had to do this
yep.
for several years,
yep.
we have been very mindful and talking about ensuring that we don't find ourselves in these situations again. How did we find ourselves in this situation now?
Yep. So, okay.
No, you can go first and I can
add. Okay, I appreciate it. We talked earlier, we're going to try and tag team this. And so back in last spring, in June, we talked, did our budget. At that time, we shared that we've been using some fund balance, and we knew that, and trying to really change what we've been doing here at Monroe Public. And so we knew, and that's why we made the adjustments with our staffing last year. But what happens, though, is the state of Michigan, and this is what I need you to clarify, is anytime that we do a budget, so it's an original budget, budget resolution, and or a final budget, the state, those materials are turned into mm-hmm. the state, okay? So last June, the state looked at our budget, you know, that was passed, and it showed us going in ending this year, if everything held, with just over $3 million in the bank, okay? And so that put, for the state of Michigan, the Treasury put their eyes on Monroe and saying, there's a potential that Monroe could be a district of distress. Okay, and so what brought this on then was, as we're looking at our cash flow and talking with, is that October right here hit. What we don't have is, go back to June, no budget from the state, so we knew all those particulars and of revenues, and so that's a factor.
We didn't have a budget, but it didn't affect inflow of money.
It could have helped us know some other factors, I believe, there.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have helped.
And so that's what precipitated this. Now, that's why we said, though, at the end of the day, why we're, and I know we're going to get into staffing again in the work session, is why there's staff positions not being replaced, why we made changes last year, why we're, I'm going to get into the budget and my superintendent's comments, what that means. So, because we know we want to add money back into fund balance. The other part being is that we were used to, you know, we had ESSER funds, so monies were very, so we didn't, that the idea around borrowing. In the past, you would have seen generally a borrowing resolution in June here. And so
the whole intent was that allowed the opportunity to ensure that fund balance mm-hmm. didn't get spent down. I know we've talked about this many. I kept saying, I don't want to find us having to borrow mm-hmm. money. I don't want to find ourselves where we don't have the money to be able to cover our expenses. And we were always assured, nope, that's not going to happen. We have it in check. We're not going to have to go back to the practices of being a school in distress, because I don't think we should be. I do truly don't. I mean, if we overspent, then that's a whole different conversation, because that's different than.
And as Mr. Shaw was alluding to, I'm not trying to cut you off. If you were
fine.
Okay, the Treasury checks when you're passing your budget resolutions, and in the last couple weeks, Mr. Shaw and I believe he's had a conversation with Mr. Heck, but we haven't put it out to the whole board, that we were notified that we are on the early warning of fiscal distress list, which means that we now, starting this month, have to submit financial information to the state, and Mr. Shaw and I have to have a phone call every month with Treasury.
Why so did we get there? Like, why? Because we were spending $500,000 mm-hmm. for this, $300,000 for this, and we're like, hey, we need it.
And you have to remember that not all of those were out of the general fund. This is only the general fund. This isn't sinking fund. This isn't bond capital.
Something got spent out of the general fund.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, that money went from somewhere. It had to have gotten proved in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And I just remember kept saying over and over and over again, we do not want to find ourselves in a cash flow problem. And so it frustrates me to not only find out that we're in a cash flow problem, we have to get a line of credit, but we're also being flagged with the state as a school in distress, and that's a
potential,
problem.
Potential, okay? Please.
Well, I'm just going by what.
No, I'm just saying what they
a potential.
That's,
addressed it.
That's not based on our actual. That's based on what they viewed in the approved budget for 25-26.
Correct.
Now they will have another discussion with us when I submit the financial information database, and the audit gets submitted, because our ending fund balance was higher than what was anticipated, which improves our standing. And it's not necessarily, I know it has a negative connotation. However, the state is giving us, not giving us, providing additional resources and another set of people to review things with to ensure that we don't proceed further and become a deficit district.
So I just have to say, when it comes to the financial aspect of the district and all the conversations that were had, we hear the word trust. And when anybody came and said, hey, we want you to give money for this because we need it, there was a trust that said, we can afford it, we're not going to overspend, and we're going to keep ourselves fiscally sound. And so the words that I'm hearing is not fiscal soundness. It is a school that we now have to look at getting money for the month. It's like October 14th, and you're saying we need this line of credit for the month of October to cover expenses. So I just don't understand.
Can,
like,
can I ask a question for clarity on the this arrangement with the state? How long does this carry on? Is there a point that it stops, or is it when it's put in place, it's got to be 6 months, it doesn't stop?
We asked that question when we had our first preliminary call with them, and it all depends on how our financials look.
Okay.
It can be months, it can be years. It just, there's no defined, like, set timeline. Like, you had the checkpoint here where you were added to the list and you're automatically removed at this point.
Right.
Like, it just depends on how your financial standing and your budget comes through.
What would you anticipate that to be?
I can't give a certain answer to that.
Okay.
So did you, I'm going to assume that there was at least conversations and looking into how we got here.
So I'm
and I'm still trying to
I'm going to go there for you.
Okay.
So at many meetings, I can't give you the exact number, but there have been many meetings I have shared that we use fund balance these last 3 years to attack our student achievement. We reduced class sizes. That costs a lot of money. We brought in other supports to address student achievement. And so that happened. Last spring, I said, we're going to need to reduce staffing. Now that we're coming out, hate it, but we're going to have to reduce staffing. And to tune of $1.5 million of staff was reduced last year. Not reflective in the budget, because it won't be seen throughout until this year goes through. And so it was all about using it. And that's where Cassie's talking about when we look at the general fund.
So you're saying you cut $1.5 million out of the staffing budget?
We reduced our staffing costs from the prior year to this year by $1.5 million. Remember last spring, you had multiple conversations with me about that?
We talked. I haven't seen the data on it, but I know that we discussed the need to do that. We discussed that you all those positions weren't being filled and all.
Yeah, we
yes.
Yeah, we had the meetings with the employees and they're informed. Yeah, so they have not been brought back because those positions are no longer in our district. And so that's why I keep saying that as we continue to right size now, but we attacked our student achievement. Because otherwise, if we would just kept doing it the way we've been going, large class sizes and what we were doing, we wouldn't have gotten where we're at today. So that's where, if you want to know exactly where it went, now can we? You want us to dig deeper? We can dig deeper for you. But that's where the vast majority of the money went in these last 3 years.
But that was what the administration had presented to us and said, hey, this is what we need. And when you come to bring a need, I am full confident that it's something that we can afford. If you would have said, hey, Darla, we're going to spend money on student achievement, but it's going to put us into a financial distress situation or a possible distress situation or a place where we're going to need to borrow money, I would have definitely looked at that and said, we need to see about it.
When we said that we were watching fund balance decrease, that's what we were sharing. And that because we were watching the funding balance decrease, we said last spring, we need to now take and reduce expenditures and try and work on, and because it's the only spot we can go. The state controls the amount of revenue coming in. I don't know the amount of money that would have made it so that today we wouldn't be having that conversation. Would have been $500,000, $1 million. I don't know the exact number right there. We know.
Do you
that,
think there's a responsibility to stay fiscally sound?
I'm not saying not to, but I keep we have continual conversations in regard. What are we going to do about student achievement? Student achievement needs to move up, and that's only going to happen, as we talked before, about bringing in staff and systems to make that happen.
And as much as you said that was as much as I said, I do not want to see us in a situation and where we're making choices that's going to cause us to have to borrow money again.
And
I think I said that as many
have.
Times as you said that.
And you have. And that's why we said that last year we reduced our staff, and you're going to see almost 15 positions on the list that we give out to you guys every week that are not being replaced even now.
But it's going to be increased based on our conversation last night.
No, there's literally on a list that says not being replaced. We have positions that need to be replaced, but we have 15 positions that is on the list that literally says the words not being replaced. I think is the exact line right there. So we reduced $1.5 million worth of positions last year. We're doing the same thing. So you're going to have ebbs and flows. So you're going to see us, and that's the goal this year, is to add back to fund balance.
But we shouldn't have a situation, like all I can think of is like your personal finances, you know. Yep. And I think about all the times
we still
we've
have,
sat here.
We still have 5 point, what was the audit number?
5.6 million.
5.6 million.
Yeah,
the difference is, though, that 5.6 million is not directly in cash in a bank.
But we didn't have to borrow prior to now. And so.
Not for several years.
Yes.
Historically.
I remember when it did, and I remember the big deal when that stopped said, let not find us in that situation again. And we find ourselves in the situation, and you're like, well, you knew. Well, technically, I knew that we needed to reduce our budget, but I didn't think that it was going to lead us to,
and
we better get a line of credit to pay our bills.
And I believe when I presented the 25-26 budget, I did indicate that the drop in fund balance was concerning, but at the need requirement of the state to pass a budget by July 1st, I could only provide you with the information that I had at that time.
And the money came in. So,
correct.
And the money came in higher than you were anticipating.
Correct.
So was
so
that-
I will begin working on a budget amendment to hopefully present in the next couple months. Mm-hmm. However, that doesn't address the immediate need. And as I indicated before, we do have cash in the bank, but it is restricted to other funds aside from the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
And typically you could squeak through if you didn't have to report some additional oversight. We have money in the bank, but it's not in the general fund portion.
So at the end of the day, Monroe Public Schools still has, at this very moment, yes, we need to look at leveraging the ability to borrow for this moment right here. The fund balance that's in our account, or not, I'm sorry, I can't say in our account. The fund balance at that very moment in time when we did the audit was 5.3 million, right? 5.6 million.
5.6.
Don't cut it short. 5.6 million. So we're still above in the threshold. So as far as like the board policy goes.
Well, because we were looking at 12% and it kept dropping, Yeah. You're like, no, Darla, it's
the
we're
board
fine where we're
the
at.
Board
policy is 7%.
But, yeah, but
yes.
But for a while there, it was sitting up high.
Yep. But where I was going is back to, this is why I've been also saying right along that we have to continue to reduce our staff, which we did last spring. We have positions we're not replacing right now, so that when we get done with this current year, you're asking about how long, our goal will be is that we that through attrition, and that's not, and we're not having laid off a single person, everything through attrition, that positions aren't replaced or other projects aren't done, that's every general fund cost. So if you're wondering how you get back out of it, that's how we're gonna get back out of it. When we look at what's coming in from the state of Michigan this coming year, we're looking at the tune of about 1.3 million of new dollars that are coming into Monroe Public Schools that we didn't budget for.
Can I just add that that's very dependent on how our fall count is certified?
That's going to be the next
those part. Numbers that they put out from House Fiscal and Senate Fiscal Agency are not adjusted for enrollment changes. So we're hopeful that we have a good a better enrollment than what I projected as far as FTE goes. But until that count is certified, I can't define that.
Yep. I have a hard time sitting here with us thinking that being in the situation's okay, because like I just don't see how it happened. Like if your oversight and you're monitoring the money, like I look at you and you go, okay, it's $500,000 for that. Well, then where's the money coming from? It's coming from here. It's coming from there. There's always this indicator that the money is available. We haven't lost money.
No, and that's why we're going to go back to last spring. We reduced $1.5 million worth of positions.
We're still borrowing money.
But you're asking about the oversight. I said to you last spring, this is why we reduced $1.5 million worth of expenses last spring going into this current year's budget.
Obviously, it wasn't enough.
Well, obviously.
So, can I interject?
I'm sorry. I'm not being flippant, Andy. Our school is in a possible distress situation being overseen by the state.
This is my point, is though that a student count be this fall, potentially $1 million new money coming in. But the other part we'll have, though, is that we have 15 or 16 positions that we're not replacing now. And so it's balancing of that staff. And so the goal will be is that to get to that financial line. You'll see that as time goes on, your fund balance will move up and down a little bit. But now we're going back the other direction here. And so
only because we're borrowing it.
No, because we're going to come. This will not add to fund balance. This $3 million.
No, but I meant we got to cover this back. It's not like you said you have to pay it back. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. The money's coming from somewhere.
Correct. So, I think yes, there is cause for concern. However, we are within our policy, right? We're maintaining our policy stated fund balance. So, but I also think that we as board members, especially those that have been sitting on this board, we also need to take accountability because we hold purse strings. We are the ones that vote yes, and we also have the opportunity to vote no on these purchases. So, yes, we are provided compelling statements for the needs and the wants of the school district, but we have the opportunity to push back and say no. We also have the opportunity to push back and say no, come back with something that's less expensive or what have you. So, yes, I feel like it's not just the board. It's not just administration. It's not just teaching. I feel like there's a lot of variables at play for how we are where we are right now. But I do feel that because we are the people that approve these purchases, that we also need to take into account that we said yes.
I think, too, just my perspective, when I look at what we did spend money on, to Andy's point, there was nothing extravagant. There was nothing that we were spending money on that didn't directly affect our students. I mean, we spent for Envision Math, we spent for training from Lucy Calkins to get the teachers more skill sets. So everything that we have spent money on really is focused on improving our students.
Well, the Lucy Calkins expenditure was washed away with the...
Well, this was for training.
Okay.
Yeah, this was, specific for Lucy Calkins.
So we're saying that this worked for the HMH that we just paid for.
Yeah.
Where did it say that at?
No, it was this training was on phonics and
staff developers.
Yeah.
It was staff developers we had.
Through Lucy Calkins, but it really was.
That was a grant.
So here's where it's
grants, and that's where it's hard.
So here's what I want to understand. So this board has operated in the time. And I'm just going to say, since Andy came here, that's the easiest way to explain it, as you are the experts in knowing the finances of this district. We don't know all that you know about the finances, and that's just true. When you come to us, I remember sitting here on multiple occasions saying, where's the money coming from? How much money? Can we afford this? So it's not like we didn't do our diligence and ask those questions. But when Andy or Cassie or David or someone looks at me and says, hey, we got the money, we've got it covered, this is what we need, we've got the money for it, we want you to approve it, and then we approve it, and you come back and go, well, you shouldn't have given us the money. I mean, that to me makes no sense.
We're not. I appreciate Mary's point. I do, but at the end of the day, it is on for the administration. So I appreciate that because we do make the recommendations.
But
and
I also,
cash it, I'm oh, sorry, you don't, sorry, you go ahead.
I was also going to say that some, it's like what you, your analogy of like personal finances, right? Some people are risk averse, some people aren't. And so some people might want to conserve more. Some people might want to spend more. And I'm somebody that sees spending on education as an investment. And so that's why I was willing to vote yes on these things. However, there are other people that if we don't feel that we should be spending that money, we vote no. So there have been a very few select times that I have voted no on a couple of financial decisions. But that's because that's where I felt like I should close the wallet, but that's neither here nor there. But we as a board are able to do that, right? That's why there's seven of us, and it's not just one of us with a checkbook.
Well, that then sets up an entire change in the way that I felt that we had a collaboration and a relationship with the administration, because people tell me all the time, Darla, you need to trust us. Darla, you don't trust us. And so I say, I'm trusting you that when you tell me, number one, you need it. I remember we talked to the principals that day. What have they ever came to us and asked that we didn't provide for them? What resource did they need to do their job to meet success that we didn't say yes to because we were told that it is affordable and we can afford it? So if you tell me and I trust you and you say we can afford it, and then you go, oh, by the way, we now need to take out a loan to pay our finances for the month, that changes that conversation from that moment forward. And I think it's unfortunate.
And I can only report to you at the moment something is purchased, what I'm aware of at that moment. Just like right now, I am saying we do need to proceed with this should the board choose to vote on it here. If the board does not, then we will have to come to a different resolution and determine how to proceed. Cash changes every single day. When stuff is approved months ago and then it comes in now, at that point, I was comfortable. But now, if the same thing came through now with everything that happened over the summer, I'm not a fortune teller to know all of the things that are going to occur. I may have had a different answer.
We have to.
So, and
that's all, fiscal responsibility. You have to be looking at that kind of stuff. It's just true. To say I can't fortune tell is to say, like, look, here's the finances. We had $1 million in the bank. Therefore, you wanted $400,000, so I'm going to give you the $400,000 and use it because there's $1 million in the bank. But I forgot that there was, you know, $600,000 more or $700,000 coming out. There's not enough money there. I'm trying to understand what you're saying, Cassie.
I provide you the information that I have at hand to the best of my ability at that moment in time.
So then it would fall onto Andy.
It falls to the spot where when we're looking at right now.
And that's fair enough, Cassie.
We have a dip right here. And so the way we're coming, going to come out of this dip so that we will work to not be in this position next year is we have to reduce our expenditures. And that's what we've already said we did last spring, and we're already currently doing, and is reducing those expenditures without trying to harm the kids in the classroom and the academics in the classroom.
Nobody wants that.
No, but that's that fine balance of how far to go one way. And so to Mary's...
Well, we did purchase a lot of bells and whistles.
To Mary's point, is when we really begin to look at what is the goal. Is it a percentage, or is it just that keep us in a spot so we never have to borrow? If that's the case, then we already can have an idea of where that lens is at.
Which always should have been that. I'm just trying to hard to understand how that all of a sudden it's like, well, we really weren't sure. You wanted 7%, but 7% wasn't going to cover it. So therefore, it left a gap. It left a money. I mean, that doesn't give any assurances.
The only thing,
so you know.
So the only thing, and Cassie, if you could just take 1 second and talk about expenses that come in through the summer, okay? Mm-hmm. When we begin to look at what comes in from our state aid over the year, mm-hmm. and how at this time of the year, even though we show on the books mm-hmm. $5.6 million, why that would not be in the bank at this very given time.
Sure. So in the summer, the teachers are receiving their summer spread. The state aid that we receive in July and August is actually accrued as revenue in the previous year. So while that cash is coming in, that revenue is already accounted for in the previous year's financial statements. We also have summer school. We have projects that are going on. We had all the furniture at the multiple buildings that was needed in order to be able to start school. We have buildings ordering necessary supplies. There's a lot of startup expenditures from July through September that then become due at a point in time where we receive no state aid, no property tax. We have next to no revenue coming in September.
But when we talked about the furniture, that was a luxury. Like everybody that has an office would love fancy new office furniture. We all know that. The first thing you do when you get a new office is you're like, hey, can I have new furniture and have fancy new furniture? Those are luxury items that we provide if there's money available. And if there's no money available, they're going to come in and go, hey, you got to kind of make do with what you have.
I was speaking about the classroom furniture, the student desks.
That's different.
But this might help.
But we spent a lot of money on other furniture.
But this is what's going to help, is if those bills don't walk in the door in July and August, they come in November, we don't have the problem. Because, mm-hmm. see, the problem is those bills, the more of our bills came in July and August, and we're being paid out. So that's why we have the dip. When you don't have that state aid coming in, that's why that dip occurs at that one moment.
So you should know that so that you plan for that. We haven't had to borrow
saying.
It's not funny.
At the end of the day,
I'm saying out loud, we do understand this. And the plan ahead is we already talked to people about, you need to place an order right now for something that you're going to do in January. So you have those conversations. But it's just you had this dip right here because of a lot more expenses that came in.
Well, and I don't like having to come and ask the board to borrow money any more than you like hearing me ask the board to borrow money. But unfortunately, regardless of my personal feelings and how I view this situation, it still needs to be addressed.
I just wanted to jump in before you say something, Darla. I think at the end of the day, we're going to have to make this decision. That's where we're going to arrive at the end of the day, at this moment. And hopefully the state will help us along. But I think we all collectively need to make sure that we say to ourselves, we don't want to be here again.
Correct.
That's right, it's sad here.
So, but we're going to have to make the best decision out of a bad decision at this point.
But yeah, we're also going to have to put stuff into place, so this don't.
Well, that's what I think. I think that's when the state puts you on a distress. Right, but I'm saying I think that's what the state's saying. When they're not saying you're in distress, they're saying that you are possible for distress.
Right. Yeah.
But so we're going to hopefully provide aids that help these conversations happening between Andy and Cassie and the state. Look at them as something beneficial at this point, not punitive.
Correct.
It's another source, but I think we all agree that we'd rather not have went in that direction.
Yep.
Correct.
But we're sitting there now, and we have to make the next best choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. House is burning down.
That's inappropriate. That's inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. Not true.
Okay. Well, any further discussion?
And I apologize if my statement came out and
I've just said this a couple of times, I would just like to know things in advance before, you know, you get to this point. And so maybe the way I presented that wasn't appropriate, and I apologize for that. But I do get frustrated, as it's true.
Were there any unexpected expenses?
Not necessarily off the top of my head. I know there was some things with, I feel like the chiller or the generator at the high school.
Right.
Which were immediate repairs that needed to occur, and they could not be charged to the sinking fund. So there have been some emergency repairs that occurred as of late. But I don't have a comprehensive list at the tip of my fingers.
There's some expenses that we paid last year that won't reoccur this year.
Correct.
I think the training with the Lucy Cox
Correct.
Organization was
a
one-time thing, mm-hmm. so that shouldn't reoccur this year.
Right. And the Mrs. Joseph and, well, I think it was Andrea, Mrs. Wiley as well, made an arrangement with the HMH to defer the payments until November, when we would know for certain we had those grant funds from the state. Mm-hmm. So that expense has been deferred. Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the other part, and then maybe this will help a little bit with clarity, is back to the cash flow. So when we look at the different grants, Cassie, which grants are coming in the door right now? For example, does 31A come in? Does our title grants come in? Which I know there's ones that the state passes
mm-hmm.
that we already have expenses for. Do we still see that, like 31AA and others?
So you start the year with what you carried over in unearned revenue from the previous year. And then your October state aid typically has your foundation, maybe 31A, and your school meal claims. It does not have any of those other categoricals. Until at least November or later. We're at the state's mercy for some of those other grants. And your allocations are also based on your preliminary ending enrollment numbers, which they will shift dependent on how our October fall count. So your October state aid is historically less than your other months because the amount of lines will be about this much versus an entire page later on in the year. So, and the federal grants are reimbursing grants. We have to incur the expenditures of our title grants and then request from the federal government those funds. We don't get them up front. So any of our federal grants are reimbursed. So we have to incur the expenditures, request the funds, and receive the funds from the government.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. Like I already said, we've got to make this decision. But I did have one more thought in my mind. Why the line of credit of $3 million? Why does that the magic number? Because I'm assuming you could get credit for $1 million, $2 million.
Sure. When I was looking at the current cash and what I anticipated the state aid coming in, that seemed like a sufficient threshold to meet the needs. Yes.
Are there any other payments that we can defer that are due like early in the year, like September?
That would be something that we can look at. Right now, with our last check run and our upcoming check run, I am looking at things and working with vendors to defer when things are due to try and keep what we're paying out this month a little bit more control. Typically, we pay net 30. I am pushing some to net 45. If I can get them correct. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Net 30 is...
That's awful good. If my thing.
Yeah.
If I could get net 30 out of the people, I would be...
Woo-hee! Yeah.
But
GE pays a net 120, just so you know, and they don't give it to you in 120.
Yeah. And for our local vendors that are providing services, we try and pay sooner, especially if they have already rendered the services. Yeah, but this is more for our supplies and things. If I can get them to agree to extend when we can make the payment without incurring an additional fee.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Scavadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Carrasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Linzer.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mr. Hatt.
Yes, and the motion carries. As we have no old business tonight, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his final comments.
All right, thank you very much. Tomorrow is a half day of school. We have a professional development for our secondary staff and elementary parent-teacher conferences. Count day, our initial count day information is showing a preliminary student head count of 4,688 students. As the count day report is prepared, we will continue to refine our initial count numbers. The count represents a decrease of 72 students when compared to last year's preliminary count of 4,760. That was October 2nd of 2025, or a decrease of 55 students when compared to final count. The irony of it all is count day was on the 1st, and we've had about 16 kids enroll in the last few days. But we do, the state did a few years ago pass a bill allowing us to collect money after the fact, but that is it's a part of it all. I do want to talk about the state budget for a brief moment for you. So based on this fall count, approximately foundation allowance, we would see about based on what we budgeted, approximately $160,000 more. 31A, which is your at-risk money, is roughly $990,000. We have some CTE money that comes in. We also saw, though, a decrease of categoricals of about $387,000. But the one that's of most concern is what they call 31AA money. So the 31AA money is our monies that we use for school safety. So that money last year, if you remember, Monroe Public Schools, we seen, I think it was like $1.2 million in it. It went down to $500,000. So they cut it big time last year. It was about a two-thirds bunch. This year they increased it, and it would be about $160,000 more money. But it comes, and so it would be about a $660,000 line item for us of revenue. But it comes with strings. And right now they're trying to figure out how to navigate the strings in Lansing. And the strings are that if a school has a mass casualty event of either a student is killed and or if three students are injured due to a mass casualty event, the state of Michigan would then be able to come in and do an investigation and eliminate all of the attorney-client privilege that you would have with your attorney, too. So the attorneys are all involved, attorney firms with this. So but the problem is if you accept the money, you accept the risk that comes alongside of it. So for us, I'm just sharing this with you that our firm, and we have other firms in the state of Michigan, are working to with those powers that be of confirming what this all means, because it's bigger than just losing your attorney-client privilege. It's about the liability, and so we'll see where that all ends. But that's $660,000 roughly. That is money that we're not sure what will happen.
But it our security is in a good place.
It is,
it's basically upkeep of the system, right?
It's the mental health. So 31AA is your mental health monies and school safety.
So okay,
so
they're combined.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it goes. I just wanted to make you aware, though, of that money, what that means. And
doesn't
so
there staff like included under that?
What's that mean?
Is there any staffing included under that?
31A, yeah, yeah. I believe there is. 31AA, yes. 31AA.
31AA, yes. We have, why am I having a...
It's some of your mental health staff, right?
Yes. I believe we pay for some of the homeless and foster care liaison out of 31AA. Our board certified behavior analysts are paid from 31AA. I think our ESL family liaison is partially paid out of 31AA. And they're depending on where our allocation lands, we consider some other other positions. Well, sometimes we cover some of the nurses out of there as far as providing some additional services.
So there would have to be also, how do we maintain and cover that as well? That's
correct.
Right.
So we're not doing a lot of heavy thinking in that direction yet, because, you know, for Monroe Public, that's our model. You think about the schools across the state of Michigan. So that, I just wanted you to be aware when you start hearing, because you'll hear things out there. I mean, that one, this one item will hit the news media big time. And so just need you to be aware that, we're watching to see how that will go.
Luckily we did have a portion of carryover of 31AA to at least get us started with that at the start of the year as well. Just
for
January, as a note.
Or you mean October?
For now.
For now.
For now.
We had some unearned revenue in 31AA last year, so we do have some carryover from the previous year's language to still utilize at present.
For, do we have an idea?
The same things that I just listed.
Of how long that would last?
I would have to look at the number at the moment. I don't have that off the top of my head.
So then as just a reminder for the board calendar that on October 28th, we will not be having a board meeting, but we still have our work session at 5:30. Please be sure you're there. We've got some really important items we want to discuss on the 28th of this month in that work session. Okay. And that's all I have tonight, sir.
Thank you. Carrie, do we have any public commentary?
We do not.
Okay, very good. Then I'll allow for board member comments. Brian, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I know at the October 28th meeting, I believe we pushed up the CNC CTE conversation.
Mm-hmm. Won't be that night, because she's at a state conference that night.
I thought it got moved to that date from
the
11th.
But then I got confirmation from the person sitting to the left of you that she can't be there. But we've got her coming right after that.
I was excited today. I was like, man, I pushed something forward.
We still have some good stuff that we need to be there for.
I know. That's good. November 11th, we'll talk about it, right?
If I can add something to that.
Yes, please.
I do have, from Leah, I have a contact at the community college.
Awesome.
So when I get back Tuesday, I'll arrange
for
a visit.
Yeah.
For any board members that want to join us to look at the CNC department. And probably welding as well at community college.
I guess I should mention, so in full disclosure for the board, three members visited a customer of mine in Delta, Ohio. The reason I only did three is because the customer, I have him take so many people tours through there. I'm like, he's going to start charging me for tours or ask me for free metal. And so they did get to see a CNC manufacturing facility at the high end of one. Yes. So I would invite Carrie and Mary, if they would like to do something like that as well, we'd love to take you there, because I think there's a big misnomer on what CNC manufacturing is and isn't. So that goes along with that. Sorry. I'm done.
Okay. Carrie?
Just to let everyone know, there's going to be a fabulous concert tomorrow night in the high school auditorium. It's an alumni concert, so there'll be many alumni. There's probably about 40 of us singing along with the current high school choir students. Carly Tower has arranged all of this, and John Tyner and Catherine Brody are both. It is at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. And then next week, same day, same time, Wednesday, 7 p.m., there's a jazz band and orchestra concert. Join us.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just asked her if she sung. I didn't know that. I do have to say that having seen a manufacturing that I've never seen before, I do think we need to bring that here. So it sold me in a very short, hot minute. I just want to bring up a reminder that there are a list of items of requests for information. I just want to make sure we're continuing to follow up on those and get that information out to us. I didn't bring the whole list.
Gary?
Yeah, I just got the one item. We didn't touch on it at the work session, and it's about the truancy problem. I think that's something that we really need to have a work session on, and I think it's a bigger problem than just Monroe Public Schools. I think this is a community problem. I think this is a judicial problem. And I think all these entities need to be involved with this, because I think 33% absenteeism is That's no bueno. Anyways, I'd like to see that brought up on a work session and maybe invite prosecutor's office in and child protective services. Maybe some parents need to spend some time doing community service, picking up trash on the highway. You know, that's how it works. Anyways, I think it's a big problem, and I'd like to see us work with other entities in the community and see if we can solve this problem for Monroe. That's all I got.
Okay. Stacy?
I would agree with what Gary is saying. I don't know if it became a bigger problem since COVID when students weren't attending school, and now maybe it's not as big of a deal to them. So, yeah, I would like to see what other people can help us with and try to fix the problem.
Okay. Mary?
Two tangents for what these two delightful people just said. One is related to attendance. A few months back, one of the things that I noticed when I was a teacher in the district is that on half days, when we used to have early release days, student attendance were particularly low on those. So I was hoping that we could kind of look at other school districts in the area that don't do half days for professional development and look at a cost comparison of like what it would look like to pay our teachers to do full day PD compared to half days where students come for a half day of instruction and then half day PD in the afternoon. I think that might be able to, it might be a way to leverage attendance in some capacity, but there might be also added expense. So it's one of these, right? And then another is for attendance adjacent, looking at what is a tardy, like what time of day constitutes a tardy, especially at like the elementary school, right? Because at Cantrick and at the middle school and at the high school, now that there's more like traditional changing periods, there's very clear times of day when you would count someone tardy. But at an elementary school, there's not necessarily second period, third period, fourth period. So I'm curious what that practice is and what a tardy looks like at the elementary school. That's all.
Just have a couple of things. One, for the board members, there is a Vicki Loveland is holding a vaping, call it educational event at the ISD on October 20th from 10 to 11. I believe employees of the Monroe Public Schools are attending, yes. But certainly if any.
It's not 10 to 11 at night?
Mm-hmm. No, not exactly. So if anybody
I'll be on the operated team.
Has available time and they are interested, that certainly should be interesting since vaping is becoming a big, big problem.
So. I think there was, it was reported, Jean Foster reported today that there was a registration, but if you don't get time to register, I think that was the one. Is that if you didn't have time to register, it wasn't going to be a problem.
Yeah, I can't remember what the email, but Vicki sent me the email.
Yeah, card, but, yeah, to see what it was.
Okay. And the other thing is for the board members, please remain. We're going to go back into the work session as soon as we adjourn this just to talk staffing. Okay, so that concludes our agenda for this evening. And to what Andy had said, we are going to have a work session on October 28th, despite what it says here on my sheet, and there will not be a board meeting itself. So our next actual board meeting will be on Tuesday, November 11th at 2025. So can I get a motion to
adjourn? Motion to adjourn.
I was ready. I was
like, support.
Show of hands. Okay.
We still have work to do now, still. Yeah.
The Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, October 14th, 2025 is adjourned, and the time is 8:38. Let's take about a 5-minute break, then come back in.